Welcome to the BitByte Podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
Welcome to the BitByte Podcast. This is Hans.
And I'm Rick.
And it looks like, according to analysts, we may be coming out of the bear market that we've been in. The slight downturn, as it were. Everybody was talking about the big target to hit was going to be 46.5. And it seems like we've hit that.
I just like us to, well, it's been pretty crazy for a while.
We've been down for a long time. Like, a move up is not, I guess, out of the cards. Like, we kind of needed it, expect. But that doesn't mean by any chance that we're not going to go back down again.
Absolutely. Well, and especially considering that the high, you know, we just had it for a brief period of time where we hit 70 and then right back down. So
69,000. Nice.
Yeah. Yep.
It was good to see.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. Everybody's like, well, we haven't hit an all-time high since March of last year. And I'm like, well, I still consider 69,000 to be higher than 65. So I think November is what I'm calling as the high still.
So, yep.
Although, I mean, what? We didn't hold that for very long. I think we were up there maybe a day, if that.
Yeah, that one was a total flash in the pan and then gone.
And then there was a sharp retracement that took place. Something, and I know we haven't spoken in a while, but we had discussed some of the things going on with Russia and China, and there had been rumors about a letter, or I don't know, what would you call it?
It was kind of like a public release that they, you know, proclaimed that there was going to be a new order, new world order, as it were.
Yeah. Basically, and what would you say? What it was the?
Well, they were saying that there's going to be two polar powers, basically the West and the U.S., and then Asia with China and Russia, basically.
Yeah. I guess with the sanctions and everything. So the funny thing is, I think the whole time that the letter was actually penned. It appears during the Olympics.
Yep.
Putin was the only dignitary, I guess is the best way to put it, that actually, and there may have been other dignitaries there. I don't know for sure, but he was probably the biggest headliner of a dignitary or the most clout as a dignitary that came to be at President Xi's side during the Olympics. So they penned this letter, and basically it was calling for a new kind of new world order, like you called it, right?
Yep.
That was going to basically be the... I'm trying to define the borders here. You basically had China. I think, was India included in there?
I'm not sure about that one.
Pakistan. I mean, it was basically there was going to be a block. And it really, I mean, I don't think India was necessarily picked or Pakistan was necessarily picked, but whenever you've got trade relations that are so closely tied with China right there, more than likely they're going to go with whoever or whatever is right there at their back door, right?
Exactly. Well, Iran would be one of those countries because they have a pretty close relationship with China and Russia.
Yeah. And I think the interesting thing about that too was after we were talking last time and all the sanctions that were going on, the letter I had heard about, I want to say like the day before, but obviously they had been planning it. And then it was like that next day, China basically went to Saudi, right?
Yeah. Allegedly.
And
they struck a deal with this Saudi king or whatever you want to call him, the prince, and, said that they would accept yuan for oil.
Yeah. And you know, and it was, it was kind of right after the play had been made that Russia was going to China and asking them for economic and military aid during their conflict or their special operation, as they call it, in Ukraine. So there's no doubt that the sanctions are crippling Russia. I mean, we're seeing a lot of effects of it. I mean, globally, I think the oil prices in the States and like the gas prices in the States, I think part of that is that, I mean, cause we don't get all of our oil from Russia anyways, are not even close to a significant amount of our oil. But I think that part of that for us is just the inflation is hitting the oil market too.
Yeah.
And then probably there was probably like 20 more cents that was coming from this conflict within Russia. So, I mean, because we've even seen, I thought I saw oil prices actually start to come down.
Yes, they've kind of come down a little bit, but you haven't really seen a deflation at the pump, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, no, and for sure. And I mean, so that's kind of the interesting aspect of that is, you know, oil prices of barrels kind of come down in price, but we have not seen that translate. And it was funny, too, especially because of how fast we saw that increase at the pumps. You're not seeing that quick decrease.
No, place. I mean, this slowly went back maybe 3 cents locally. So,
yeah, because I think even Hobbs was probably the cheapest I've seen gas. And when I got there, it was actually still below $4 for regular unleaded. But however, by the time I left last week, it was $4.09 for regular unleaded. So it was still increasing even down there. It was just a little bit slower than what we are up here.
Yeah.
And then our old pal Joe, he said food shortages are coming.
Well, that's the thing that people don't realize is Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe.
Yeah.
So wheat prices are at pretty much all-time highs right now. So, I mean, I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that there's going to be food shortages worldwide. It's just how bad is it going to affect, you know, the West, you know, or in America? I mean, for us, we're American. I mean, how bad is it going to affect us? That's the other thing that's going up too, is that, you know, a lot of the fertilizer we get is from Russia.
Yeah.
That's not going to do us any favors. And it's already three times higher than what it was last year, if not even higher. So for fertilizer.
Right. Yeah. And I think a big part of that too, I mean, it goes back to there's a confluence of things, right? Like it's easy. And the Biden administration has done this already. They're blaming Russia for a lot of this stuff, but a lot of this stuff was on the rise because of inflation already.
Exactly.
It was coming down the pipe, whether we wanted to admit it or not. Just this is an easy way to throw it at, you know, in Putin's face. When we talk about wheat prices, right? Like, I mean, obviously we're not buying wheat from Russia. However, we have basically a global infrastructure in place where people are going to be starving if we don't provide them with wheat as well. And when they're, you know, when their hands are tied and they're not able to get it out of Russia the way that they were in the past, we're going to export wheat because obviously the price we're going to sell to the highest bidders. I mean, you'll still be able to get it in America, but it's we're going to see shortages. We've seen a lot of shortages kind of continue on as, I mean, the supply chain has been kind of holding on by a thread, and this is not helping matters at all. With inflation and now interest rates rising. Because did we discuss last time since interest rates did go up? I think we've recorded right as that happened, right?
Yeah, they said that they were going to raise interest rates, but we didn't know what was going to happen on that still.
Yeah, and I think it went up a quarter of a basis point or whatever. So it's 0.25.
Yeah. But we also discussed that, you know, back in 1980 or 81 or whatever year it was, you know, the interest rate went up to 20%+, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was for pretty bad inflation, you know. But, you know, now this round of inflation, it's just as bad, if not worse than what it was 40 years ago. And we're just raising interest rates by 0.25%. It's like, yeah. Well, that's really going to fix the situation right there.
I think at the time, well, and I don't even think it's changed too much. I think at the time we were talking like they were talking about raising it six times over the coming time periods. So even at that, if they do a quarter basis point six times, but I think they announced that they're going to do it seven more times. I mean, we're still looking at what, maybe 2%, 1.75%.
Yeah.
What is that? I mean, it's minimal. Although who knows if they see the inflation continue to rise and rise and rise, they may end up having to do something a lot more drastic with that rate and increase it. But part of what I was going to bring up too with the shortages that we were talking about with the food supply. So we talked about wheat, but they're also talking about there's going to be beef and poultry shortages again. And I mean, we've seen this happen. It's not like when you go to the supermarket nowadays, it's not like it was 3 years ago, right? Or even 2 years ago. You don't have like this overstock of products where you can really pick and choose. The prices are insanely high for meat. And there's a limited selection of what there is out there. A lot of empty shelves. Dairy is going to be in short supply this year. They're saying eggs are going to be in short supply. Plant-based proteins are going to be in short supply. Shortages on fruits and veggies and other goods made with produce. And they're saying that some of that is due to climate change because of crop failures. I mean, we'll see. I don't know about all that, but there will likely be canned food shortage and shortages of imported goods is what they're calling for.
Yeah. Part of me, you know, when they talk about climate change causing all these issues, I mean, I think more of it's going to be from just the fact that fertilizer is so insanely expensive. The supply chain is broken. Like if you have like a big farming operation and like some expensive part on your combine goes out, I mean, how long is it going to take you to replace it?
Yeah. Yeah. I've got customers waiting currently about, even as far as I've had a customer waiting for a cylinder head this is for an over the road truck, right? Like a hauler that's moving goods across the country. They've been waiting for a cylinder head since November. I've got customers waiting for recon engines to swap out swing engines on their long haul trucks since November. Wow. And there's still no time as to when they're going to get the engine to be able to get the truck up and running again. I mean, that's a long time to be without work. Because if your truck's not running, that's product not moving.
I mean, just multiply that all across the United States and the rest of the world and just how much lost productivity is there from that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to discuss who I work for, but we ended up pulling all of our operations out of Russia. And we actually like completely just shut down. Like, so I don't know what they're planning to do for the employees that we had within Russia. However, they're like, that's it. I know they plan on taking care of the employees. I don't know specifically what they plan on doing. But they're like, that's it. We're done with operations in Russia, period. So they pulled everything.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of companies that have done that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, my company kept on releasing newsletters saying, you know, none of our products are within Russian military vehicles or anything like that. So, but regardless, I mean, they're not going to continue to support it. I mean, that's just going to open up the doors for the aftermarket, you know, third party stuff. But
true,
we shall see where that goes. Another thing that's kind of interesting to kind of bring up too is that we're starting to see with this latest. Action within the Bitcoin price itself, we're starting to see a little bit of a decouple from the traditional market because we've really, really closely followed what the tech industry does in regards to the stock market. And we're starting to see a bit of a decoupling from that, which is what we've needed to see for a while, right? I mean, Bitcoin needs to be treated as a risk-off asset due to its limited supply. And I mean, the demand just keeps on increasing.
Yeah. And the level of security, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, the hash rate, we're, you know, the highest that it's ever been. I mean, we're hitting that and we're still down below where we were a year ago. But I mean, we're starting to claw them back up. And talking about the risk analysis of the whole thing, we had El Salvador was supposed to release their volcano bonds on March 20th is when they were supposed to start issuing those. There was a lot of questions whether or not it was going to be oversold, like oversubscribed to the bond itself. And right now they withheld releasing the bonds because basically they're saying because the risk averse environment right now, they didn't want to lead it out. They didn't want to release it at this time, just because there's still that kind of that look at the Bitcoin market as being a risk on kind of asset as opposed to risk off. So still interesting to see. I wanted to see the subscription rate to that when it launched. But there's also a lot of different places are talking about getting Bitcoin as legal tender. Honduras and Malaysia are two of the ones on docket right now. So we'll see. I don't know which one's going to go next, but there's a bunch that are coming up.
No, that's the fascinating thing. But, you know, I'm kind of glad that they did pull that bond because right now, just with the uncertainty in the world, I don't know if we would have been happy if, you know, for whatever reason, that bond failed. And then the repercussions we would have seen in the Bitcoin price afterwards.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know, that would have been a much more lasting effect. Like what we want to see is that bond to be released and to be oversold as much as possible, right? Like you want it to come out and just gangbusters and just see that demand fly through the roof.
And then it would bolster the price. But, you know, the opposite, it would crush it for who knows how long, right?
Yeah. Bitcoin is still very much whimsical. I don't know how else to put it, but it's very much dictated by market sentiment is the best way I can think of to put it. I mean, and it's come, somebody catches a cold and Bitcoin can drop in price.
Yeah. Well, you know, Keynes, you know, we kind of talk a little bit of crap about him sometimes on his economic stuff, but he actually called the market like moved by animal spirits.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And, it's not wrong, right?
Right. But no, I mean, for sure. It's that mob mentality thing of it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the important things, like if you ever go into trading or anything like that, is you've got to be able to control those emotions and do the opposite of what the masses are going to do.
Yep.
Because that's typically, I mean, you've got to be the contrarian, really. I mean, and that's the way you've got to look at it. I mean, if everybody's really super positive, like right now, we're looking at Bitcoin at $47,000. The Bitcoin Fear and Greed Index is sitting at 60. So that's technically greed, barely in the greed zone. Last time we were at the level of 60, Bitcoin was at 60,000. So it's not a direct correlation, right?
Yeah.
You got people getting greedy when we're at 47,000. That's not the time to be greedy yet. I mean, we're still crawling our way back up. I don't know. Tough call. Tough to say where it's going to all lead. I am glad I have Bitcoin, though. And I do encourage people to, not that it's financial advice, but make an allocation. You don't have to buy a whole coin or anything like that, but just buy a fraction.
Yeah.
Try and get a million Satoshis. I think that's fair.
Stacking them Satoshis. Honestly, if they're talking about food shortages, get some canned food right now.
Yeah.
That's not investment advice. That's going to be survival advice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and we don't know what that quite looks like yet, right? Like, I mean, we've seen food shortages the past year, but we haven't seen food shortages for shortages. And I don't know how bad it's going to get.
Yep. Well, I work in a farming operations, and I can tell you things are kind of rough.
Yeah.
I'm replacing equipment, so.
Is that what's slowing you guys down on your end?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, doing rehab stuff or putting off a lot of stuff, parts, getting new trucks. I mean, it's just impossible right now.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah. You started your planting season already or not yet?
Yeah, we're about to, yeah.
Okay. So we don't know what yields look like yet or if that's been affected at all. Or, I mean, are they seeing any projections as to what yields may be decreased by this year for them?
We don't know yet. I mean, we're going to try, but the projections that are killing us is the fertilizer costs. That's going to be eating into our margins. Though we've sold wheat, we still had some wheat available from last harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And they sold it at all-time prices just recently. So Kind of crazy. I mean, we may not have a Bitcoin high right now, but we're at an all-time wheat high.
Yeah, talk about some great commodities to be in would have been foodstuffs, right?
Yeah, and maybe that's the other plays you get into those commodities right now.
Yeah, you just got to, I mean, that's one of those big things. You got to check those trends and watch them. That always reminds me of Silicon Valley. I don't know if you ever remember in that first season. Did you watch Silicon Valley at all?
Yeah, I haven't finished the first season, but I've watched part of it. Yeah.
I mean, you got that guy, he's sitting there, he's tasting it. He's like this sauce. He's like, there's this rainstorm that's happening and blah, 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 that's causing this type of flower to grow. And it's used as an ingredient and all this stuff all around the world. He's like, and there's this flooding that's taking it all out. But like, it was all because he had these nuggets with this sauce that got his mind going on this thing. And he made a killing on it. You know, I mean, obviously it's fictional, but I mean, that's really how those commodity markets work.
Yeah.
You got to be able to predict, kind of look at the macro environment and kind of place your bets and hedge what is going to happen in the macro environment and how that's going to affect your commodity prices.
And you got to choose wisely.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's definitely a method to the madness, and you see it at like at the end, like when you look at the broad picture, you're like, oh yeah, of course that makes sense. But in the middle of it, it's hard to think at that higher level and like get that 30,000 foot overview of it and be like, yeah, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think we'll get to 50.
50?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we'll be knocking it. Well, I'm going to do this. I'll do 49.6.
Just on the cusp.
Just on the cusp of 50. Which, I mean, that's not too far from where we are. So you're saying 45?
Yeah, somewhere in the 45 and up.
Okay.
I don't think any lower unless something crazy happens.
Yeah, I mean, so far we've seen nothing but positive news for the most part within governments and stuff like that towards Bitcoin. Last time we had discussed is right whenever the EU went on ahead and was like, no, we're not going to ban it or anything like that due to environmental reasons or anything. So we'll see. We will see where it heads.
Yep. Though I am getting more and more scared of that central bank digital currency that was part of that recent executive order.
Yeah, I saw a post actually right before we started recording where, and I don't know who it was somebody from the IMF saying that cryptocurrencies won't hold a candle to digital currencies. It's like, you don't understand. I mean, and I'm sure they do understand. It's everybody else that needs to understand.
Yeah, no, I think they understand that they need to get ahead of it and crush it before it crushes them. Yeah. So,
yeah, I agree. I completely agree. So, did you have anything else you wanted to add for this evening's episode?
I think that's it for now. Though, sorry for the long break, but we'll be back to regular episodes here, at least going forward on this week.
Yeah, for this week, and then I should be home for a little bit here, so we should be good to rock and roll for a little while.
Sweet.
Cool. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.